Okay, actually, those of you who are standing in the back, there are some seats. If you want to take a seat, there are still some seats available a few rows in. Please feel free to come up. Our next presentation is from Shayna Lavareda, who will be talking about discontinuous health insurance and access to physician services.
Good morning. Okay, this is not going to work for me. I'm going to be more out here because I hate being this short, being behind a podium. So you'll just see me kind of go back and forth. And I'm going to leave the mic over there. Hopefully, you can all hear me, right? Because I'm pretty loud. So I'm going to go through this. I would like to thank my colleague, Erin Peckham, at the center who helped me. And just to tell you who I am, I'm Senior Research Associate at the Center for Health Policy Research at UCLA. And please feel free to visit us at our booth at 1509, I believe, right next to CDC. We are the ones who administer the California Health Interview Survey, and so that's the data set I'll be presenting here, but I'm actually presenting not in my capacity at the center. I'm a doctoral student, God willing, going to graduate in June, and this is my first one-third of my dissertation. Very much a work in progress. I used CHIS 2003 for what I'm going to show you. For my actual dissertation in a couple months, I'm going to use CHIS 2007. And for those of you who are interested, it'll be online in a couple months, and you'll be able to use it yourselves for all your other projects. So this, again, is a work in progress. My results are kind of preliminary. You'll see what I've done. And hopefully, during the question and answer period, some of all of you very smart people who have already been through this process and have your PhDs will have some advice for those of us that are still finishing up. Okay, so I use which button? Which button do I push here? The return key, okay. Okay, that went to the end.
All right, arrow down, I think.
Start me back up again. Okay, arrow down. I tried arrow down.
How about this?
That arrow down. There we go. Okay. I'm not getting any financial payment for any of this. I'm a doctoral student. No, actually, I do have to disclose that the California Program for Access to Care is very nicely funding this part. So I'll be doing a presentation on that data in Sacramento on CHIS 2007 in February at their annual grantee thing. So this is what's already known. This is my abbreviated lit review, and I put all these references at the end, too, for people who are interested in later. I have three slides of references. You can go back and use all this yourself. But as has already been discussed, the Anderson model has had a lot of things written about it. And I use the Anderson model as the basis for my health services research as well. And as everybody kind of knows from that, discontinuous health insurance is bad. Wow, we all know that from a long time ago. But we have these different kind of factors that are different reasons why it might be bad that we want to control for. So we have the individual level indicators here. And then also, if you've seen kind of Anderson's recent update in the past, I've been working at the center about 8 years, and I started with him on a project on that. So about 7 years, 8 years, 9 years he's been doing this. Contextual level factors. He's become very interested in this geographic area indicator kind of thing. So you look at not just what's going on with the kids in their household, you also look at what's going on in a geographic area that's the same for all kids in that area. So this is my conceptual framework. You've got your Anderson model, down here. You've got your contextual factors up there. And then this box right here is actually adding in what's called a health belief model, which is putting it all together. So the Anderson individual level factors, your predisposing, enabling, and need, they form somebody's idea of whether or not they need health insurance. Actually, it's really a parent in this case, right? Because there's no kid alive that says, oh my gosh, I need health insurance. I mean, they have no idea. It's the parent. So we've got perceived susceptibility to illness, severity of health outcomes, perceived barriers, and perceived benefits. So this kind of amorphous step goes on in the brain to say, okay, my kid has some kind of insurance status. So the insurance statuses I have listed here, I'm not sure if you can even read it from where you are, but it says child enrollee losing coverage and becoming uninsured. So those are the kids on Medi-Cal and Healthy Families who drop out in the course of a year. Uninsured child enrolling in Medi-Cal or Healthy Families, which, by the way, I should mention for those of you who aren't from California, that's our Medicaid and SCHIP programs here in California, and Healthy Kids is kind of on top of that. Child is uninsured all year, which unfortunately there's a large population of those, and child has continuous Medi-Cal or Healthy Families all year, and that's the largest population, which is good. That's what we like to see. So, okay, the contextual factors up there, this is like my thought exercise, okay, so this is not something I can measure entirely, but we've got the state policy context. So if I
you know, was really doing what I would like to do and might do over the next 20 years, I would do a 50-state kind of application of this and compare all the states, and they all have different eligibility requirements and retention requirements and all those things. I'm going to do that later. Right now, we're looking at counties also. In California, every county has a different policy context, because as you've heard, they may or may not have a Healthy Kids program, the county level insurance. We have something called 1E App, which is this really fantastic, amazing, wonderful application process that you can go to one person and they can fill out this wonderful electronic form and say, okay, this kid is eligible for Healthy Kids, but that kid's eligible for Medi-Cal, and this one's eligible for Healthy Families in the same family, which is actually possible due to our crazy eligibility rules, but that does happen. And then the county may or may not have their Medicaid program have a managed care program. In California, that is decided on a county basis. And in this percent of children in Medi-Cal or Healthy Families in the county, that's kind of a concentration factor. If you have a higher percent of your kids in Medi-Cal and Healthy Families, you have a lot of resources going to those programs. I mean, a county like Humboldt up north that has a really low percentage is going to be a lot different than a county like Los Angeles that has a high percentage and has administrative things and organizations and things like LA Care and HealthNet all putting resources into that. And then separate from that, you have your local safety net, because the number of free or low-cost clinics and the number of public hospitals has its own influence on whether or not parents think that they need health insurance. It also has its own influence on access to care. These things really only access whether or not parents think their kids need health insurance. Okay? So this is the conceptual framework, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. So what will this particular study answer? Well, what I'm going to be doing is looking at the causal link. So not just the association. That's what I'm going to be trying to do statistically. Looking at the causal link between enrollment and disenrollment in Medi-Cal and Healthy Families and access to physician services. So my main hypothesis here is that if you have discontinuous Medi-Cal and Healthy Families, it's going to lead to worse outcomes. I mean, that's pretty basic. But what I'm trying to do is apply this much bigger model than what most people have usually done, and including the contextual level factors, that's also very unusual, and use new kind of methods like instrumental variables to look at a causal link. And then these are my basic outcomes: having a usual source of care, reporting any delay in care, and whether or not you visited a doctor. And then secondarily, for the kids who do have a usual source of care, are they more likely to use a doctor's office if they're continuously enrolled in Medi-Cal and Healthy Families? So I'm doing kind of a subset of this group in that question. Okay, so my study design, CHIS 2003. So this is the most recent survey that I have available that uses all these outcomes. And for those of you who are in the know, you're saying, well, why aren't you using CHIS 2005? Well, CHIS 2005 did not have the delay in care variables in it. And the initial logistic regressions that I did using 2003 showed that delay in care is actually where most of the action was, that there was a big problem with delay in care. So I didn't want to lose that as an outcome measure. So that's why I'm only using 2003 and 2007. It did survey over 42,000 households. It was administered in 6 languages. The response rate's comparable to other RDD surveys, not 72%, unfortunately. But again, 72% for the people who answered the screener. It does interview parents about their insurance status and their child, and you get this incredible wealth of household information that you really don't get anywhere else. And again, for those of you who are interested in CHIS and CHIS data, I can talk to you about that later. That's actually part of my job at the center, is to help people with CHIS data. So, okay, other data sources, though. The contextual level variables had to come from somewhere else, because CHIS is just a self-reported survey. The only thing that came from CHIS was the percent of kids enrolled in Medi-Cal and Healthy Families. The other contextual level variables, what I used was, it's called the Institute for Health Policy Solutions. If you're interested in the Healthy Kids program, they have this fantastic website that has up-to-date enrollment information and everything published online. I used medical care statistics section data for whether or not there was a Medicaid managed care program in the county. And then I used the 1E App's own website for which counties are using 1E App and when. Now what that unfortunately means is that in 2003, I couldn't use it at all, because that was when they were pilot testing it. 2007, I'll be able to use it in my model. 2003, I had to drop it because no county was really using 1E App. Okay, so I use the contextual level variables as instruments that are also going to predict discontinuous insurance status. Unfortunately, I'm not able to include data on clinics and hospitals at this time. And since our own enrollment and retention procedures are statewide, you know, they're the same for everybody. So going back to the framework, These highlighted boxes are the ones that I'm actually using in this study. Okay, so I don't have anything here. Unfortunately, CHIST doesn't ask these questions. This would be the kind of thing I'd have to do on my own survey if I want to do it. I just have to say that this is inferred from the other thing. Demographics, I'm using a county policy context, predicting the insurance status and its causal link on these outcomes. Not healthcare costs for this study either, but I just did the whole box so you could see. Healthcare costs is parts 2 and 3 of my dissertation. That'll be something different. Okay. So how does this study work? It is a non-equivalent control group. So what I did is I took, those 4 groups that we saw. I would love to put them all in the same model. That's called a multivariate probit instrumental variables model. Haven't worked with that yet, haven't tried it. Trying first with bivariate probit. So you need dichotomous insurance indicators. So I sat and thought, so what are the groups that I really want to compare this group to that group, 0 to 1? Who are those people? So I've got 2 separate models. I've got children who had Medi-Cal and healthy families all year, so 12 months ago they had it, they still have it. Compared to children who had Medi-Cal or healthy families 12 months ago and now are uninsured. Okay, so that's group number 1. I'm saying, what about the kids who lost their public coverage? Are they worse off than the kids who kept it? This group is kids who were uninsured all year compared to what about kids who were uninsured and then gained public coverage? So hopefully what I'm going to end up with, what I'm looking for, is that the kids who lost it are going to be worse off than the ones who kept it the whole time. And the kids who gained it are going to be better off than the ones who are uninsured the whole time. Okay? Now, it is cross-sectional survey data, but I'm approximating a longitudinal study the best I can. CHIST does ask ridiculously complicated insurance questions about past 12-month coverage and all these things. I end up with this 19-category variable that actually still doesn't capture every possible variation because I've made lots of other variables too. But this is my approximation for this study. Okay, and I chose the data set because it had all of these things. All right, so let's talk about these bivariate probits. What I did for the independent variables was I put in these constant predictors. You end up with 8 models because you have these 4 outcomes and 2 populations each. So I've got 8 models total, and in those models I included predicted margins and relative risks so I could talk about, what's the risk of each population compared to the other. And since we have your insurance status determined simultaneously with your access, that's where the bivariate probit comes in. It's called the seemingly unrelated syntax in this data. What I ended up doing was these things predict your insurance status, and then you take, along with your instrumental variables that were at the contextual level, those all predict insurance status, and then you take the insurance status along with controlling for these things to predict for the access to care. Okay? All right, and let's move on. So, just basically a very quick going over of what the extent was of discontinuous Medi-Cal and healthy families, because you might be wondering that, how big are these populations that we're actually talking about? Well, it turns out that 91 or 92% of current Medi-Cal and healthy families enrollees did have insurance over the entire past year. And part of that is because California has 12-month continuous eligibility. If you sign up during the year, you are going to be continuously enrolled for 12 months. So you end up with a very large population in CHIST 2003 that was continuously enrolled. I'm sorry, it's 87% for healthy families enrollees because more kids in that program are new enrollees. But you do still end up with this big population of these new enrollees, 218,000 are new enrollees and 81,000 new enrollees in healthy families. So it is percentage-wise smaller, though, certainly, than this large population of continuously enrolled. And I'll talk about the difficulties that is actually causing me in my models later. And then you have, of uninsured children, 1/4 of those who are eligible for Medi-Cal or healthy families were enrolled in the past 12 months. So this 79,000 and this 43,000, which is other, which is the best that CHIST can do for past 12 months, are being compared to that 92% up there, which is causing some difficulties in the models. Okay. This slide doesn't have much on it. Whoops, go back. The reason for that is because I had to upload it a week ago. Let's be honest. It kind of snuck up on me, and I was not able to get the regressions done. We're working on our full-length report, which, again, you can pick up the older version down at our booth, but we'll have the new one out to you hopefully early next year. So I'm just going to talk about this for a little bit. What ended up with the regression? The first population, the one that was Medi-Cal continuously compared to the kids that dropped out over the course of the year, what I found with these bivariate probits that were incredibly complicated was not much. They didn't come up as significant that I should be using the bivariate probit in the first place. Those statistics didn't come up as significant. There were no significant differences between the two categories. In fact, in the one place where it was significant, it turns out that kids who became uninsured showed up as having better outcomes, having seen a doctor more often instead of a clinic than the kids who were continuously enrolled. And I think that's a function, again, of using a subset of a subset of a small population. So I'm certainly having some problems with my sample size issues there, even with CHIP being such a humongous survey as it is. So the total population ended up being 3,200 kids, by the way. And so it ended up about 10% of that 3,200, so about 320, were these kids who dropped off. And it just, those models are not working out as I had hoped. And against the logistic regression results, too, the straight logistic regression results. The other set of models, the moving into Medi-Cal and healthy families compared to uninsured all year, are actually turning out exactly as you would think. And that group ends up being about 50-50 in terms of sample size. So we don't have the problem necessarily one swamping the other. And they're turning out with the kids who gain Medi-Cal and healthy families are showing up to be significantly better in all enrollment factors. They're less delay, they're more likely to have seen a doctor, more likely to have a usual source of care, you know, all of those things. So that one is working out as anticipated and the other one is not. The ideas I have here are to either try and do that multivariate probit I was talking about earlier, or to also do more bivariate probits looking at the other dyads that are possible. Medi-Cal healthy families all year compared to uninsured all year. Just going with the other way, uninsured all year versus Medi-Cal healthy families became uninsured, and seeing the results there. And if all of those are consistent, well, maybe it is true that there might not be a difference for kids who dropped off and became uninsured. So that's still definitely a work in progress there. And hopefully during the question and answer period, we'll talk about that more. Okay, so limitations of this study. I did just use a 0-1 measure for whether or not you've seen a doctor in the past year. I didn't try and do a number of doctor visits based on health status or any other kind of control there. But one of the reasons I did that was because in policy terms, these things actually have more relevance because kids need to see a doctor at least once a year, regardless of their age. I mean, you need to have more doctor visits and more intensive visits if you're younger and fewer if you're older, but it's certainly at least once a year all the way up through 0 to 18. So that seemed to be a very nice basic cutoff. And then, of course, CHIS 2003 has its limitations of being a self-reported survey, which other people have already discussed. Okay, so conclusions and limitations. This conclusion slide, I would like to point out, see how it says this nice, lovely statement? That's what I wrote based on my logistic regressions that showed up here. This is the conclusions based on the logistic regressions, which said it did indeed have detrimental access to care. And these new regressions are saying maybe not. So still a work in progress there. But I can certainly say that children who gained coverage had better outcomes than those who were uninsured all year, which is a nice statement to be able to make. And I believe that this does support claims that increased enrollment and retention will improve access to physician services. So getting uninsured kids into the programs that they're eligible for is something that's certainly supported by this research. Okay, and then as I mentioned, I've got your three slides of references here for those of you who are interested and need them for yourselves. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, let's see here. This one.